Before we begin this discussion this morning, I wanted to share something. Maybe you can relay this to our hostess yesterday evening. She asked a question about Nanda Maharaj's charity and what's the difference between that and Karmakanda. A few things, in addition to what I spoke yesterday. Karmakanda, first, is a section of the Vedas that's mainly geared towards the devatas, propitiation of the demigods for the purpose of achieving something material. At the very beginning of each Karmakanda ritual, there is an invocation to the Bhokta of the Yajna, Moktaram Yagatapasam, that's Vishnu or Krishna. However, the focus is not on Vishnu as the enjoyer, the focus is something else. So it's consciousness distinction. Propitiation of the demigods to get something. That's Karmakanda. So her question is, what's the difference? And Nanda Maharaj, we heard he was, you know, propitiation of the Pitris and forefathers, and you know, the rituals were being observed. Vedic rituals were being observed. But it's not Karmakanda, because, and so the distinction is the consciousness behind what he was doing. Conscious, so say it differently. Same thing differently. Our hostess last night, she has two children, and she's interested in, she's duty-bound to take care of her children, and she's transcendentally bound to take shelter of the personality of Godhead. So that's transcendental life, and the cultivation of transcendental life, distinct from Karmakanda. Personality of Godhead is worshipped. Do I hear Vishakha crying? Huh? Door opening. Okay. A squeaking door. Okay. Okay. Externally, there's three, at least. Materialists, Karmakanda, and Vaishnava personalities. And it may look like they're doing the same thing, but they're not doing the same thing. The materialists don't do karma, don't do rituals. But, you know, their interest is the welfare of those who they have affection for. The body and the extensions of the body, etc. That same squeaky sound as the door. Okay. 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 They're turning to God. That's like, let's take the example, Dhruva. He wanted a kingdom, so it's not, he wasn't doing Karmakanda, he wasn't propitiating Vishnu to get something through the demigods. He was just going straight to the personality of God. So it's, there's a distinction between mixed devotion and Karmakanda. That's the point I want to make. And with mixed devotion, there's Sakama, bhakti, and it's different than Karmakanda, because Karmakanda is, certainly it's Sakama, but the focus isn't service to the personality of Godhead. The focus is, I'll do these rituals because they get me what I want. That's Karmakanda. There's some affection for the deva or that's being propitiated. One may certainly become attached to this deva, that deva, because they get results. Part of the defect is that mentality may lead to their, if they don't get what they want, they check out. And no more worship of this deva, that deva, because I didn't get what I want. That is, the deva is an order supplier, and mixed bhakti can be like that. Let's just take, in the world, you know, one of Prabhupada's often cited stories from one of his godbrothers from Germany. During World War II, the ladies prayed to God. They went to the church, and they prayed to God that our son, our brother, our husband should return from the war. When they didn't return from the war, they became atheists because the order supplier didn't fulfill. So they checked out. That's a defect. Now, in that model, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that mixed devotion, they're devotees. Krishna looks upon such persons as devotees. It's not the same as those that perform khanda-khanda. Their intention is not pleasing Krishna. Their intention. So it's the consciousness behind is different. The method is different. And as far as charity is concerned, there's a verse in Bhagavad Gita that whatever one's stage of attainment is, one shouldn't give. There's some things one shouldn't give up. Charity is one of them. A little Bhaktisiddhanta story. I've heard Bhurijan tell the story, and it's in the writings, the biographies of his life. One time, when visiting Radhakund during the Vrajmandal Prakrama, Bhaktisiddhanta was walking around circumambulating Radhakund. And at his time and still today, there are elderly Vrijbasi or, you know, widows that sit around Radhakund chanting, and they have a cloth in front of them and a little bowl where people can make some donation. And Bhaktisiddhanta commented to his industrialist followers from Delhi, you think, he was chastising them and instructing them, you think now you're engaged in bhakti, so you don't have to do charity, because charity may seem to fall in the category of karmakanda. You do charity because you get something. But you should give charity because it's a duty that you shouldn't abandon. And particularly as grahasthas. Grahastha Vaishnavas don't stop in charity. Now, it doesn't mean we run out to Radhakund and find poor people and give donations. It's a principle. And, you know, they're not beggars on street corners. They're Vaishnavis engaged in service to the personality of Godhead. It's why I'm bringing this up as a principle. Grahastha Vaishnavas don't desist from charity thinking, oh, this might be karmakanda. What Nanda Maharaj did was not karmakanda. It was worship of the personality of Godhead, Narayana or Vishnu, so that benefit would go to his son. Something similar, different but similar. Ambarish Maharaj undergoing this year-long vrata, Ekadasi vrata. Benefit would come for that vrata, and his purpose was he wasn't wanting benefit, he wanted well-being to go to his citizens. It wasn't a karmakanda performance. It was a duty of a king. So we don't abandon duties when we become Vaishnavas, thinking, oh, it might be karmakanda. It's certainly possible. People that are karmakandis, they observe Ekadasi too. And they have, you know, there's literature from the karmakanda section of the Vedas that describes you do this, 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 and this, and this, and such Ekadasi, and you get these benefits. The next Ekadasi, you do those, and you get these other benefits. It's karma, karma kanda folks, they also observe Ekadasi in a different consciousness. There may be different details involved in what they do specific to get what they want. So it's not only devatas, it's also things that are Vaishnava-like related can be seen through the lens of someone that wants something by doing something. So, we're continuing. Canto 10, Chapter 9, Text 21, Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Mother Yashoda, is accessible to devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service, but he is not as easily accessible to three categories: mental speculators, those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or those who consider the body the same as the self. This verse, text 21, is being referred to in Jiva Goswami's commentary on 10.9.9. That's the same chapter. 10.9.9 reads, when Krishna saw his mother stick in hand, he very quickly got down from the top of the mortar. Oh, we read this. And began to flee as if in fear of Mother Yashoda chased him, whom the minds of yogis in samadhi fit to merge in Brahman and impelled to him with great concentration cannot attain. Now this is different, but it's quite similar. He saw her vividly. Samiksha, because she held a stick in her hand. It was impossible that she could have stick to punish him, and he had never seen this before. He looked around to understand the situation and then fled. To fool her, he ran to the main gate of the house where many people gathered near the Yamala Arjun trees. Then this is same as what we heard yesterday, or quite similar. He only appeared to be afraid, bitavat, since he had no real fear internally, because he knew his mother had the greatest affection for him. So that's why, I mean, one of the explanations given is he was feeling no fear because it was really he knew that there was nothing to fear. He only appeared to be afraid. He showed fear like that of others. There's other dimensions to all of this. He was feeling a transcendental fear out of reciprocation with her love. And he wanted to feel that feeling, so he did. This act revealed to his mother the sweetness of his infant pastimes that was stimulating her love for him by that feeling, and he was feeling something that he wanted to feel by her love. Knowing that on that day everyone had gone from the main gate, she chased him. Though the mind in samadhi is capable of merging with Brahman or another form of the Lord, and is impelled towards him with concentration, tapasā, it cannot achieve him. That's the mind. This will be made clear later. And that's later is our text 21, which reads, Krishna, the son of Mother Yashoda, is accessible to devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service, but he is not as easily accessible to mental speculators, those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body the same as the self. the last paragraph of the section. Yashoda pursued him and caught up to him step by step. So much for her good fortune of having him sleep on her lap. Her good fortune of chasing him when he fled cannot be understood at all by the greatest yogis! Exclamation point. So mercy and mercy and over-the-top mercy. She had great fortune, greater fortune than all other devotees, because she was able to catch him directly. Now we're going to another Jiva Goswami writing, Priti Sandarbha, where he writes about the word Priti. A person who has pure Priti is the best of all. And he now quotes Canto 6, Chapter 14, verses 3 through 5. 6, 14, 3 through 5. In this material world, there are many living entities, as many living entities as atoms. Among the living entities, this is quoted in Madhya Lila Charitamrita also, talks with Sanatan, but taken directly from the Bhagavatam. Among these living entities, as many as atoms, a few are human beings or devatas, and among them, a few practice dharma. Oh, best of the brahmanas, out of those followers of dharma, only a few desire liberation. Among many thousands who desire liberation, one person becomes a jivan mukta. And out of many such persons, only one attained liberation. A jivan mukta doesn't necessarily attain liberation, which is not so clear. What's the distinction between those desiring liberation? Out of many, among many thousands who desire liberation, one person becomes a jivan mukta, and out of many such persons, only one can attain liberation. The next verse is Muktanalapi Siddhana Narayana Parayana Su Durlaba Prashantatma Kotishvapi Mahamune. Celebrated verse. Oh, great sage! Greater than those who are Jivan Mukta and greater than those who attain liberation is the devotee of Narayana. Such a devotee who is in Shanta or other rasas is very rare, even among 10 million people. So now the focus is going to go to this Shanta idea. We mentioned it last night. Shreyas means dharma, actions for attaining happiness in the next life. Going back to the first of the three verses. Among those desiring liberation, one may become Jivan Mukta or Mujeta. The Jivan Mukta who does not commit offense to the Lord is perfect. Siddhyati. Siddhyati means that such a person attains liberation at death. Yinyera Vindaksha Vimuktamanina Srayasha Bhavat Avishuddha Udaya Aruya Krishchena Param Padam Tatapatantyado Nadrada Yushmadungrayaha. He quotes 10.2.32. Oh, lotus eyed Lord, although non devotees having impure intelligence become because of not having devotion to you, think that they are liberated and become Jivan Muktas after severe austerities and penances. They fall down from their position of imagined superiority because they have no regard for the lotus feet of you and your devotees. Now here's a reference from Bhagavat Parishishta. Bhagavata Parishishta. Don't know what that is. The Jivan Muktas again become subject to material desire if they offend the Lord, possessor of inconceivable great Shakti. Another reference. He who, out of bewilderment, does not follow the Supreme Lord as he moves in procession, though he has burned all his karmas by the fire of knowledge, becomes a Brahma Rakshasa. And then he states, these proofs were given in Bhakti Sandarbha. This is from Preeti Sandarbha. Among 10 millions of Jivan Muktas, Muktanam, and liberated Jivas, Siddhanam, a person who surrenders to Vishnu is most rare. Quoting our verse for this morning, the Lord, the son of Yashoda, is not easily attainable to materialists or to jnanis with realization of Atma, but is easily available to persons with devotion to the son of Yashoda. Then a reference to Canto 5, Chapter 6, Text 18. Dadati karhichit smatna bhakti yogam. The Lord gives liberation, but rarely gives bhakti. Then another reference to Uddhava Gita. First, there's commentary that says, a surrendered soul is rare because he is firmly fixed in the true nature of the Lord. Shantatma. The Lord himself has explained. Shamo man nishtata buddhe. Or shama or shanta means fixing the intelligence in me. 11.19.36. So I'm going to read directly from Madhyalila, chapter 19, several verses, where this is being referenced, starting Madhya 19:2-11. Directly, the Sanskrit is Shanta Rase Sarup Budhye Krishnaika Nishtata. That's in quotes. Shamomam Nishtata Budhye Tri Sri Mukta Gata. Mukha Gata. That's the verse. Here's the translation. When one is fully attached to Krishna's lotus feet, one attains the shamatha stage. The word shamatha is derived from the word shama, a shama, semicolon. Therefore, shanta rasa, the position of neutrality, means being fully attached to the lotus feet of the Lord. This is the verdict from the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. This state is called self-realization. This is Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatana Goswami describing things, and or maybe it's Rupa Goswami. So he's giving a picture of the stages of bhakti, and it's being connected to Mother Yasoda, and this verse of, you know, text 21. Purport, the word shama is explained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the following verse. And the following verse isn't directly the verse, it's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu saying, shamo man nishtata buddhair iti sri bhagavat bachaha tan nishta Durgata Buddhir Etam Shantaratim Vina. These are the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Quote, when one's intelligence is fully attached to my lotus feet, but one does not render practical service, one has attained the stage called Shantarati, or Shama. Without Shantarati, attachment to Krishna is very difficult to achieve. I'm going to go use the restroom, so take a little break from the recording or whatever. This is from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Rupa Goswami is writing. I'll read it again. These are the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Quote, when one's intelligence is fully attached to my lotus feet, but one does not render practical service, Hare Krishna. When one's intelligence, Krishna says, when one's intelligence is fully attached to my lotus feet, but one does not render practical service, one has attained the stage called Shantarati or Shama. Without Shantarati, attachment to Krishna is very difficult to achieve. Now, Krishna speaking about Krishna. And here is the next verse. This is the verse from Uddhava Gita, 11:19:36. Shamo man nishtata buddhir dhamma indriya samyamaha. Indriya samyamaha. Diksha dukha sammarsho jivo pastha jayo drittihi. The word shama, this is a translation of that verse spoken by Krishna to Uddhava. The word shama or shantarati indicates that one is attached to the lotus feet of Krishna. Dhamma means controlling the senses and not being deviated from the Lord's service. Endurance of unhappiness is a tiksha. And dhriti means controlling the tongue and the genitals. So maybe we have an answer to the question from last night about suffering. Endurance of unhappiness is tiksha. And dhriti means controlling the tongue and the genitals. So these are requirements or components of this shanta or shama, shanta rasa or shanta rati. That's the preliminary requirement to achieve attachment to Krishna. So going back to our text, this is transcendentalists have this quality. Certainly the residents of Braja have this quality. If we want to become like the residents of Braja, we have to have these qualities. That's preliminary. It's not going to go anywhere without those requirements. Without shantarati, attachment to Krishna is very difficult to achieve. So maya sakta manaparta yogam yunjan varashraya. So that taking that verse and expanding it in this way, we're getting the picture of what text 21 says, this stage of spontaneous devotion that gives access to Krishna, mercy of Krishna, is not attainable by these other three categories of personalities. Now, tapasa is good. But, it, you know, there's a purpose of the tapasa or tapasya, and that's to make us qualified, eligible for coming to that stage where Krishna bhakti awakens, attachment to Krishna awakens. That is, by detachment from other things, that the obstacles for attachment to Krishna become diminished. It doesn't create attachment to Krishna. It's an obstacle that needs to be removed so that attachment to Krishna can become more successful or accomplished. And from that attachment to Krishna then comes higher rasas or braja prema. So this braja prema is very, very, very rare. We read, Krishna says, the Lord gives liberation but rarely gives bhakti. Canto 5, chapter 6, text 18. We're being prepared to go to the graduate level of bhakti. And we can stay at the undergraduate level or whatever. But these teachings are meant to help us get there to the graduate level of attachment to Krishna and experiencing the happiness that goes with those higher stages of bhakti. We heard last night, it was a very nice description. In the birth ceremony, Nanda was welcoming Krishna's birth. He was also welcoming the ecstasy. And it wasn't just like the attachment of a father. it was a transcendental ecstasy. That ecstasy he was eligible for because of that quality of purity. He had no other interest. It seems quite natural, kind of like, you know, a no-brainer, kind of that natural, that Raghunuga Bhakti is the means to attain Vraja Prem. And conversely, without that Raghunuga Bhakti, without having an understanding of the nature of the love of the residents of Vrindavan, one will never experience that love of the residents of Vrindavan. It's not just by vittis alone. One will attain that. One will attain purity, but to go beyond that purity, to attain Krishna's association like the residents of Vrindavan have, it's that purity is a foundational requirement, and then stimulating that kind of love is an extra mercy. That's what we're hearing. It's not with a hammer hitting you on the head with Raghunuga Bhakti, but it's Raghunuga Bhakti. It's not concealed. We're following that process. You know, back to one of the questions that came earlier. We're doing Vaidhi Bhakti, but our Vaidhi Bhakti is with the understanding that's where the train is going. We have to make ourselves eligible. But even, as mentioned, even in the first canto, there's Mother Jasoda saying what she says about, Queen Kunti saying what she says about Mother Jasoda. She's inconceivable. We don't know, I'm unaware of Kunti having direct association with Yashoda. She's certainly heard of her, but I don't know of any direct association. But her admiration for her is there just by hearing about the pastimes, as we're doing, hearing about the pastimes. Hearing about the pastimes has similar potency. That's something that Shukadeva Goswami says, or Brahma says, just by hearing. There is potencies that stimulate this kind of love. They cleanse, they help to qualify one to the point of attachment to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And when, so let's read it again. The attachment is symptomized by, let's read what it says in that verse 11.19.36. Krishna speaking. The word shama or shanta rasa indicates that one is attached to the lotus feet of Krishna. The word in the verse dhamma. Dhamma means controlling the senses and not being deviated from the Lord's service. Endurance of unhappiness is titiksha. And dhriti means controlling the tongue and the genitals. So these are all mentioned in the verse. Jivo Pashta Jayo Dhriti. There it is. It's, all of this is within the bhakti process that we've been given. You know, the 11 verses, nectar and instruction, it has it all. It's all there, packed. And then you can unpack it, but it's all there. or there's not something that's being like a esoteric teaching that you have to become, you have to pay some money, or you have to climb a mountain before you can get it. It's there. And our disciplic succession, starting, you know, the six Goswamis taking these teachings from Lord Chaitanya and from the Srimad Bhagavatam, because they're the same, putting them in literatures, Jiva Goswami having the literatures distributed, and that same principle to today, taking these teachings and making them available to people in general on a wide scale. It's meant for people in general, it's meant for us too, and so the opportunity is there, then we need to make ourselves eligible to receive that opportunity. And distraction is common and really easy. Complacency is common and very easy when we're feeling more comfortable. Complacency is common when we're facing some obstacle or hardship or injustice or something. It's really easy to get unfocused. Endurance of unhappiness is titiksha, which is an element of this attachment to the lotus feet of Krishna qualification. Say it the other way around. If one is striving for attachment to Krishna, it makes it easier to be endure unhappiness. Say it the other way. If you're not attached to striving for shelter, unhappiness is consuming. You know, it's not just a distraction, it becomes everything. In our modern times, just a social comment, it's, you know, a very, very common platform for bringing the message of Krishna bhakti to the world. The uncertainty message, the anxiety message, the anxiety disorders message, and everything that people of the world, modern people of all ages and descriptions, are being confronted with and lost. Suicide, antidepressants, and on and on and on. And on and on and on, without shelter. So shelter helps one go beyond those things, and going beyond those things, having the capacity to go beyond those things, helps you attain the shelter. They work together. So let's see if there's some discussion.
Maharaj, the first one is about the point of charity. In India, there are many beggars.
Many what?
Beggars.
Debtors.
Beggars.
Beggars.
So,
what do you do?
Should you give them something, like some money?
It depends.
For charity, or is that
government? It depends on the circumstance, time, place, circumstance. Generally, no. You give them prasadam, the many beggars. Because if you give them something else, they'll misuse it for, you know, a tamagun purpose. It's common, my experience of moving about in India is the drivers are trained, always carry a box or a container or something that has prasadam. When those beggars come to the car, you give them prasadam.
But then they get unsatisfied.
Well, unsatisfied. And the business is not to satisfy the beggar.
Second question is there any person in the spiritual world that is perfect?
Is there anybody in the spiritual world?
Yeah.
Or outside of the spiritual world?
In the spiritual world.
Is there anybody in the spiritual world that is perfect?
Yes.
That's your question?
Yeah, except Krishna.
Let me ask you a question. Is there anybody in the spiritual world that's not perfect?
No.
Okay. So, yes, the answer to your question is yes.
Everybody's perfect?
Huh?
Everybody's perfect.
You don't get there unless you are.
In the spiritual world, everybody's perfect.
Wouldn't it be a nice place to live?
Yes.
Yeah, let's go. We have to make ourselves qualified. Oh.
Is there anybody perfect in the material world?
Well, they're in the material world, but not of the material world, yes. That's, you know, Prabhupada. He was in the material world, but not of the material world. Okay?
So he was perfect? He was perfect?
Absolutely perfect.
Okay. Third question is, to get rid of distraction, do we have to get rid of happiness?
No. Just you move the aspiration for happiness and the experience of happiness to the spiritual position or the spiritual conception.
So we like chant instead of getting stuff. To have happiness.
Oh, absolutely, please.
Okay, thank you.
In the back, do you have something? No, okay.
Maharaj, in this discussion, there were three terms that were used. One was mumukshavaha, then mumukshu nam, and siddha. So one
and there's jivan
one
mukta.
Category.
There's
yeah, I'm trying to fit that jivan mukta in. So the mumukshava are those who are interested in liberation. Mumukshu nam are those who are.
You're getting technical, so let me go back to the text.
Okay. Who are desirous of.
This is the Priti Sandarbha. Among those desiring liberation, one may become Jivan Mukta. Mucheta, mucheta, mucheta. Among those desiring liberation, one may become Jivan Mukta or mucheta. Those that don't commit offenses to the Lord are siddhyati. Siddhyati means that such a person attains liberation at death.
Mm-hmm.
So now, carry forward. What's your...
So, first category was mumukshuva, who are sort of interested in liberation. Then there is mumukshunam, who are desirous of liberation, and then there is mucheta, who are liberated. And then the next verse, there is muktanam api siddhanam.
Among there are, the 10 millions of jivan muktas, parentheses, muktanam.
So when the term muktanam is used, that is referring to those who have achieved liberation. No, those who are muktanam.
I don't know how to differentiate between the liberated soul, the siddhanam, and the muktanam or jivan muktas. I don't know how to differentiate
okay.
the two.
Yeah, he's trying to.
I can't.
Okay.
I can't help with that. It's not clear to me.
Mm-hmm.
There's something. But it's not clear to me what that something is.
Okay. Question from Sri Radhika Mataji. On the topic of Karmakanda worship versus the worship of a devotee, in the readings of Ramayana, you spoke of Srila Sanatana Goswami's recommendation of worship of Goddess Lakshmi. In the context of the Diwali festival, what is his recommendation for a Vaishnava in relation to Lakshmi worship?
I'll send her a document that I sent to you, Parmarupa, and that document describes the Vaishnava worship of Lakshmi. It's in relation to, it's not separate from worship of Narayan, but there is a worship and it's part of the agamas, and I'll send it to you. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't say in that document I'll be sending you, Sri Radhika, it doesn't say what does that worship look like, what are the mantras, and the details are not there. It rather is describing a principle that's similar to the principle that Sanatana Goswami writes in his book, Kartik something. Not Kartik Mahatmya, but Kartik something. So if you like, I can send that too. I'll see if I can find that. Yes, I can find that. I'll find that. I'll send you two documents. So what are the elements? I don't know.
Next question is from Sri Radhika Mataji. We hear often that Krishna is easily obtainable or attainable by bhakti. Since my practice of bhakti is far from perfect, Krishna is not easily attainable for me. On the other hand, nothing material can check bhakti. Then how is it possible that my offenses and faulty application for 17 years is checking my experience of Krishna?
Is taking what?
Checking my experience of Krishna.
We've discussed that, but I'll gesture in the direction of listen again to the Anatomy of Anartas. That's a summary of a description from Bhakti Sandarbha Jiva Goswami that says what you've been doing for 17 years is working on eradication of anartas. And anartas are difficult to remove. Different, more easily removed are reactions to sins than anartas that are produced by different methods than sin. And why it takes time, it's in Bhakti Sandarbha, and it's in those summaries. If you want me to find, why don't you do this? Go through that section, and if you want, after going through that section, the Anatomy of Anartas and why it takes so long, ask me, remind me, and I'll send you, in fact, just send me a text message saying, send three documents. Mm. You know, worship of Lakshmi, the different, the reference that says the how to observe Diwali, where there's that reference from Kartik something or other from Sanatana Goswami. And I'll take the time this morning and go through Bhakti Sandarbha and send you the whole section where he speaks of anartha eradication. And there it explains the answer to your question, why it takes so long.
Okay. The last question online is from Akshay Prabhu. Hare Krishna Maharaj, what is the literal translation of Titiksha, the word emphasized in the verse today?
Titiksha means tolerate. Tongues titiksha, so Bharata. Go to Bhagavad Gita chapter 2 and you'll find titiksha as tolerate. Tatikshava Karunika, that's another reference. Chapter, Canto 3, Chapter 25, I think. Tatikshava Karunika, you can look that up. Sadubhushanam. Okay.
A couple of questions, Maharaj. One is, you mentioned Jivan Mukta. Is it more about liberation or is it referring to sadhana siddha devotee?
I don't have, it's similar to your husband's question. Okay. And the putting a laser on that term and what it means and what it doesn't mean is not clear to me.
Okay, Maharaj.
Generally, Jivan Mukta, liberated soul, that's how what I think of when I hear Jivan Mukta. But there's some distinction in what that is. You're asking in a different way the same question he's asking, and I don't have the answer.
Yes, Maharaj.
Sorry.
Shanta Rati, is that there in all the rasas?
Because yes.
That's the
yes.
Basic attachment.
What's in the next rasa, so Dasya, includes what's in Shanta Rasa plus. Mm-hmm. What's in Sakya includes what's in Dasya, which includes Shanta, plus the envelope gets bigger.
Is there any description of position of Mother Kunti? Like her, what is...
She's parental affection.
She's also an eternal associate in the spiritual world.
I don't know the answer to that. I would assume so, because the Pandavas are, but I don't know the answer to that. And the Pandavas are involved not in the spiritual world, the Pandavas are involved in his Bhoma Leela. Mm. So, beyond that, I can't say. Mm-hmm. I only know what our acharyas say. What do I know about this stuff? What our acharyas say? It would make sense. Intuitively, it makes sense. She's an eternal associate in the role of the mother of the Pandavas.
Like she's glorified a lot, so I was just thinking, what is her position? So that way. Thank you.
Parental affection.
As a follow-up from Sri Radhika Madhuri's question, I was wondering what is the difference between personality traits and anarthas? Is there a correlation that if somebody's carrying a deep anartha, it would come out in the personality somehow?
Sure. Sure. Sure.
So anarthas could be pretty... quite transparent.
Quite what?
Transparent, like they come out. Transparent in the sense that something in the heart, it would be in the behavior. Like how do I identify my anarthas? So can I just look at my behavioral traits and figure out or get some idea of what is, sticking in
That's
my
part
heart?
Of introspection. My response to your question is, it's part of introspection. And introspection requires refined consciousness. It requires intention, a willingness, and it also requires refinement of intelligence, both external and internal. Yes, what you're saying is correct, but it's good to discern, but Krishna will give the intelligence. The main focus... in anartha nivritti, the main focus goes to attachment to Krishna, and that's the powerhouse that drives anartha eradication. That's the horse that pulls the cart. Bhajana kriya nicely performed pulls the cart, anartha nivritti cart, not. Focus on anarthas, and that pulls the cart.
Mm. Yes, Maharaj.
I think I'm getting the answer to my question. I probably need to...
You know what Jivan Mukta is now.
I mean, there is Rupa Goswami's verse that Iha Yasya Hare Darse. That verse in
yes.
that sarvavastasu, like in all conditions of life, with mind, heart and words, when one is serving the Supreme Lord, then why living in this world one is considered to be a Jivan Mukta? I think the clarification I was making is that when Mukta Nam is used, that is referring to Jivan Mukta. And when Siddha Nam is used, that is basically referring to when one has perfected one's Siddha Swarup, I guess, like going to the spiritual world. Or no. I think just escaping the whirlpool of material energy.
I suggest you do more research before you jump to conclusions.
Okay.
Srila Prabhupada.
There are two questions popping up more.
Okay.
One question from Chaitanya Rasa Prabhu. One of the friends, Satya, is asking, what do we do when cow comes to hit us, as explained in the... Bhagavad Gita, as somewhere they explained, it seems. Is it so?
Resend your question because it's not clear. Next.
Uttam Bhakta Prabhu is asking, Lord Vishnu is Aja. How do we explain navel in his belly?
Brahma is Aja, not Vishnu is Aja. And how do we explain what?
Navel.
Navels in his navel. Belly?
I think the...
Why not? He has a body. We have a body like his, not he has a body like ours. So he has a body. Why he can't have a navel?
I think he's relating to the birth.
Okay, but he can through. Still have a navel. Doesn't mean, you know, he doesn't have to be like us. We can be like him, and he's got a navel. And our navel is like what our navel is, and his is what his is. We don't have to restrict him to be like us. So, Chaitanya Rasa, you can present this question this evening. We have one more class before moving on. Srila Prabhupada ki?
Yeah, it's a nice one, but it's a nice one.